Parsifal, live from the Met, this Saturday at 4:30, and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
You are listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 2 o'clock. Good afternoon and welcome to Afternoon Concert with me, Kate Mollison. Coming up in today's programme, we've got Sibelius, more from our French man of the moment, Florent Schmitt, a wind serenade by Dvorak, and a couple of absolute gems by Lily Boulanger. But first, our regular Thursday opera. And today is a bit of a rarity, Goyescas, a one-actor by Enrique Granados. It's about a love triangle between a woman, a soldier and, of course, a toreador. Here to set the scene for us are the soprano Nancy Fabiola and Kenneth Richardson, who directed the concert staging that we're about to hear.
Goyescas is a fantastic opera by Granados, based on Goya paintings, which is full of passion, full of jealousy, romance. It goes from the wonderful sunshine celebration at the beginning of the opera with an amazing chorus, with four soloists that take us on a journey from this sunshine to the tragedy of the death of the hero when he fights a duel with his, he thinks, a rival in love, but it's not, because his lover Rosario absolutely adores him and she loses him. But she has hope that beyond death they will meet again.
I'm Nancy Fabiola Herrera and I'm playing the role of Rosario, this incredible, sensitive woman full of passion for Fernando on one side, who is the tenor. Then we have Paquitos, the bullfighter, you know, and Paquito is a baritone, beautiful, strong baritone. And then we have Pepa. Pepa is the other female character, is a mezzo, and she provokes the confrontation, actually, because she's very jealous of Rosario also. And she's jealous that Paquito takes, you know, pays attention to her. So she's kind of like this sneaky snake, if we can say that.
The opera is a classic opera about an unnecessary death, in a way. And it's jealousy that provokes two men to face up to each other, like, you know, a bullfighter and a rather aristocratic man who kind of feels he should not be beaten. And they fight, and one gets killed.
There is actually a sense of relief at the end of the opera. After all that darkness, Rosario repeats over and over again the word love. Love,
yes.
Love is the only thing that can make you sing, that can set you free from the captivity of life.
One of the great tragedies of Goyescas and Granados' life is that he had travelled to New York for the premiere at the Metropolitan Opera, and on the way back, his boat, this was in the First World War, his boat was torpedoed, it sank, and he lost his life. It's such a tragic story that we lost a composer young, and given the quality of the music in Goyescas, you just wonder what he would have written had he lived.
Tragedy all round. Well, that was the director Kenneth Richardson and the soprano Nancy Fabiola Herrera. So we're in Madrid around the year 1800. The action begins with a group of young women playing on the street, tossing around a straw man in a blanket, as depicted in Goya's painting El Pelele. A group of men, including the toreador Paquiro, shout elaborate compliments to the women. One of the men, Fernando, is keeping an eye out for his girlfriend, Rosario. This performance of Goyescas by Granados was given last month by the BBC Symphony Orchestra and singers, conducted by Josef Pons. Nancy Fabiola Herrera is Rosario, Gustavo Peña is Fernando, Lydia Viñez-Curtis is Pepa, and José Antonio López is the toreador Paquiro.
Thank you. Candil, porque el ojo Thank you. las 10 en el Prado y acabamos de una vez. Esto concluyó.
Rosario, por Dios, vida mía.
¿Qué pasó?
¡No! ¡No!
¡No! ¡Fandango! ¡Pronto! ¡Fandango! ¡Pronto!
Thank you. Pensa
Fernando dies in the arms of his lover Rosaria, having been stabbed in a fit of jealousy by the toreador Paquiro. Never mess with a bullfighter. The tragic end of Goyescas by Enrique Granados from 1915. Hot-blooded musical realizations of the artwork of Goya, showing gritty life on the streets of Madrid in the early 1800s. Nancy Fabiola Herrera was Rosario. Gustavo Peña was Fernando. Lidio Viñez Cortes was Pepa. And José Antonio López was Paquiro. The BBC Symphony Orchestra and singers were conducted by Josef Pons. It's a couple of minutes past three. I'm Kate Mollison and you are listening to Afternoon Concert here on BBC Radio 3. Still to come this afternoon, we have music by Florent Schmidt, Lily Boulanger and Jean Sibelius. Before that, Dvorak, his Wind Serenade, which is a piece of huge poise and glowing tunes. In a way, it's a homage to the Wind Serenades by Mozart. Just think of the glorious Gran Partita. But instead of Viennese waltzes, Dvorak gives us Czech folk dances, furiants and susetskas, with loads of really earthy, offbeat rhythms. 18th century wind ensemble music often included a double bass for extra oomph, and Dvorak goes one step further by adding a cello as well, so the textures are brilliantly bottom heavy and gutsy. I always think of the opening chords of this piece sounding a bit like a wheezy street organ. Actually, I've never heard a wheezy street organ, but you know the kind of Middle Europe postcard image that I'm talking about. Anyway, here is Dvorak's Wind Serenade, Opus 44, played by the BBC Symphony Orchestra with Douglas Boyd conducting.
Thank you.
Sun has broken through. It usually does in Dvorak. I remember the Polish violinist Bartosz Worach once telling me that the difference between Czech and Polish music is that Polish composers never shake their melancholy, whereas the Czechs always muster up a happy ending. Well, certainly true of the music we just heard, Dvorak's Wind Serenade in E minor, opus 44. I used to love playing that piece as a clarinetist. Those rich colours are just the best for wind players to sink into. The performance we just heard was from the BBC Symphony Orchestra, winds, cello and bass, conducted by Douglas Boyd. Well, I've got some company in the studio. Hello, Sean.
Hello. I just love the idea of you sinking your teeth into a melody. I hope you still play.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
You've put me on the spot there.
It's fine. My violin got woodworm and it's gone. We've got no woodworm today. It's all bright, sparkly. Well, I'm sure there'll be things in the minor, but joy on confounded. We've got the absolute cream of the crop of the National Youth Choir of Great Britain. There's the Chamber Choir, and then there are the Fellowship Octet, and we have eight of the best who are on a special two-year course, and they're coming in to sing for us. These are some of the great voices of the future. So that's absolutely terrific. We've got young Mikhail Petrov and Erdem Misilioglu coming in to play Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky. And Cal McChrystal, comedic director. Anybody who saw One Man, Two Governors will know that his idea of physical comedy just makes you laugh uproariously, has turned his attention to Gilbert and Sullivan. Iolanthe just opened for English National Opera, and he has given it, I think, sort of the kiss of humour, even though, of course, it's all there in Gilbert's words and Sullivan's fabulous music. So that's our little lineup for today.
Fantastic. Don't go anywhere, basically. All that from 5 o'clock on In Tune with Sean Rafferty.
Thank you.
Well, if you were listening to Tuesday's afternoon concert, you'll have heard the first suite from Florent Schmidt's incidental music to Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra, written for a sprawling six-hour production at the Paris Opera in 1920. Well, we've got the second suite now, music that Bill Barkley, director of music at Shakespeare's Globe, has described as wild, exotic, dense and sumptuous. In this performance, the BBC Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Zachary Oramo, while we start in Alexandria, a dark, velvety night at Cleopatra's palace.
Thank you.
Antony and Cleopatra take their leave at the end of the second suite of incidental music by Florence Schmidt, designed for a production of Shakespeare's play in 1920. The BBC Symphony Orchestra conducted on that forthcoming recording by Zachary Oramo. Well, music now by another French composer living in Paris around the same time as Florence Schmidt. Lili Boulanger's life was cut tragically short at the age of 24. She died of complications from what was probably undiagnosed Crohn's disease. Her sister, Nadia, went on to become one of the most important music teachers of the 20th century. But Lili left us with just a handful of works of exceptional craft and imagination. I want to play you two of those works now, a contrasting pair, starting with D'un matin du printemps, a spring morning, hugely daring writing, full of twists. I love how many times she tricks us with false returns to the theme. And then a partner piece, the sombre d'un soir triste. Now the music is marked funereal and painful. The BBC Symphony Orchestra is conducted here by John Storgards.
Thank you.
Jan Storgårds conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra, the incredibly poignant music of Lili Boulanger. She wrote that second piece, D'un soir triste, in 1917, just a year before she died at the age of 24. Before it, we heard D'un matin de printemps. We can only guess at what bold direction her music might have taken had she lived longer. You are listening to Afternoon Concert with me, Kate Mollison. And if you've been tuning into Composer of the Week with Donal MacLeod this week, you'll be in full Sibelius immersion, which is no bad place to be. I've got some more Sibelius for you now, music for the press celebrations, which might sound like the most boring title in the world, but actually, there's good reason for it. In 1899, Russia introduced a new programme of Russification for Finland, and the response from Finnish nationalists, including Sibelius, was to find new and ingenious ways to trick the censors, including a night of historical pageants, which looked all right on paper, but actually the night was full of nationalist allegory, not least in Sibelius's music. You might just recognise the last movement. In this original context, it's called Finland Awakes, but Sibelius later renamed it as Plain Finlandia. This performance took place last December to mark the 100th anniversary of Finland's eventual independence. The BBC Symphony Orchestra was conducted by its Finnish chief conductor, Zachary Oromo. Finland Awakes, the original name for the last movement of Sibelius's press celebration music. As a standalone piece, it would become more snappily known as Finlandia, but somehow it makes so much sense hearing it in context. The BBC Symphony Orchestra on incredible form there, conducted by Sakari Oramo. Well, that's all for today's afternoon concert. I'm back tomorrow with more Finnish music by Esa-Pekka Salonen, plus a complete performance from the BBC Symphony Orchestra and Javier Perianis playing Ravel. All that from 2 tomorrow afternoon. Well, just now, it's coming up to 5 o'clock. In tune in just a minute.
Launching skyward from the 16-foot-deep vertical walls of a frozen halfpipe, she grabs her snowboard and rotates horizontally 1,260 degrees, 30 feet above anvil hard ice. If all goes to plan, she'll land on her feet. And for her, it's just another day at the office. The fearless are here. The Winter Olympics. Get all the latest action across BBC TV, BBC iPlayer and Radio 5 Live.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 5 o'clock. Time now for In Tune with Sean Rafferty.
And a very good afternoon to your peers or fairies. Take your pick. High jinks with Gilbert and Sullivan later. High performances from the cream of the National Youth Choir of Great Britain and the young cellist Mikhail Petrov. That's all after the BBC News with Zeb Soans.
The new president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, has been sworn in. He was elected unopposed to take over from Jacob Zuma, who bowed to significant pressure from his ANC party and resigned. Mr. Zuma is facing corruption charges. Mr. Ramaphosa, a multimillionaire businessman, said he would focus on rooting out corruption and revitalising the economy. A former youth football coach, Barry Bunnell, has been found guilty of 7 more charges of sexually abusing boys in his care. He's now been convicted of a total of 43 counts against 11 victims who were abused between 1979 and 1990. One of the victims, Andy Woodward, said he felt that football clubs where Bunnell worked should have done more to stop the abuse. President Trump has promised that making schools safe will be his top priority. He was speaking after 17 people were killed in a school shooting in Florida. A 19-year-old former pupil, Nicholas Cruz, has been charged with premeditated murder. The former Oxfam director, who allegedly paid for prostitutes in disaster zones in Haiti, has written an open letter denying his involvement. Roland Van Houwemeren said he'd been in a relationship with a Haitian woman and supported her family, but denies paying her for sex. He also denied inappropriate behaviour while working in Liberia and Chad. Meanwhile, Oxfam has admitted that one of its staff who was sacked in Haiti was rehired as a consultant in Ethiopia. The charity said it was a serious error and it was now checking to see if there were any issues during his posting. The Church of England is urging Christians to give up single-use plastics during Lent as part of moves to reduce damage to the environment. Worshippers have been given a number of suggestions, including carrying a set of non-plastic cutlery and taking their own toiletries to hotels, rather than using free travel-size bottles. The weather, it will be a cold night with a widespread frost, clear and dry in eastern areas, but showers in western parts will continue and those in the northwest will be wintry. BBC News and Weather at 5:02.
Seb Soans, thank you very much indeed. Welcome to a plastic-free zone. But a talent-packed studio, Mikhail Petrov and Erdem Misilioglu playing Rachmaninoff and Tchaikovsky, and the top octet from the National Youth Choir of Great Britain singing Monteverdi and Vaughan Williams. All that plus the award-winning comedy director Cal McChrystal and his view of Gilbert and Sullivan. Chopin first from Angela Hewitt.